Rob Ryan,
Anthony Capfer,
Brett Druck,
Jared Berenstein.
They are
four comedians. They're also real good friends, working on jokes. The fun never ends. They're asking each other, is this anything?
I remember one time when I was working at Uno's, I was having like a real bad day, and somebody asked me to sing happy birthday to their kid. And this is probably one of the more fireable things that I ever did when I worked there, was like dead faced. I said to the guy, like, nothing would give me more pleasure than to sing happy birthday to your son. And thankfully he laughed and he was like, that was a very like Bill Murray kind of a read. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Thank you. He's like, but really sing happy birthday to my kid.
What an honor to be compared mm-hmm. to Bill Murray.
Yeah, and to not have the manager called on my attitude.
I love when you can, because I was pretty decent at this, like read a table just enough where you could just know where you probably could get away with like a joke or a line that's snarky or Bill Murray-esque. It's hard to get that just right, but every once in a while I'm like, can I say this without getting in
big trouble?
Well, it also, I'm sure it changes with tips, because at Trader Joe's, I didn't care. I'm like,
yeah, that's right.
My go-to was I'd ask people how they're doing, and then they would say, good, how are you doing? And I would say, I'm having the time of my life, like just like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care if they laughed or sometimes the worst is if they were concerned. And they would be like, what's wrong?
One of my crowning achievements of snark as a waiter was a woman, and she was with her family and their two kids, and then I'm like delivering the plates to everybody. I'm like giving the plate to the kid, and mother's like, what do you say? And I'm like, thank you. I give another to another kid. Mother's like, what do you say? And then I hand it out to the adults, and I hand her dessert or salad, and she says nothing. I just hand it to her. And I sat there, and I went, and what do you say? And she like, there was this double look of like, are you? And then she was like, all right. Okay. It was just so funny to me.
Way to set an example, right?
I was working at a place called Landmark, which was a newer fancy restaurant. It was so new that the celebrity chef who started it was still cooking in the kitchen. And they had a very strict no substitutions policy. If something came with French fries, you couldn't get anything else that came with French fries. So one day I'm waiting on a really big table, and I'm, you know, going around, and this guy's like, hey, can I get something instead of the fries? And I'm like, I'm so sorry, we don't do substitutions. And he was like, even if your friend of Mark, who is the celebrity chef that was in the kitchen cooking at that moment. And I was like, yeah, I mean, just give me your name and your special friendship number, and I'll call downstairs and see. And then, like, you know, I just, and, you know, I forget exactly what happened, but I just remember all the waiters afterwards being like, I can't believe you said that to that guy. And me being like, oh, yeah, that is kind of a dick thing to say. I could have gotten into a lot of trouble for that.
That's funny. I don't know. I think he was being a kind of a dick, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's not your boss. He's like,
I loved when policy would be a barricade in like getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I can't be mean to a customer, but if they're filming in the store, which is strictly prohibited by Trader Joe's, I'm allowed to be like, that's our policy. I don't have to like cater to, well, I'm so sorry. It's like, no, that's our policy. You can't do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Saying no was, that was the best. Hey, I can't do it. Sorry. They told me to tell you no.
It's great saying no to people that never
I hate doing this.
Get no.
Okay, so now let's really get started. Someone do an intro for us.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome to Is This Anything? We are four comedians working on bits here.
All right, should we do an outro now?
Yeah, that was the episode.
That was the episode. Thanks for watching.
We crushed it.
Thanks for tuning in.
I would love, Anthony, if you did an intro. That's great.
Anthony, intro time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Welcome to Is This Anything? I am Anthony Kapfer. I'm here with Rob Ryan, Brett Druck, and Jarrett Berenstein, and we are four comedians working on material together.
What's our relationship to each other?
We also happen to be friends.
Oh, no!
He's turning into the only thing that makes Jarrett angry is that line.
The incredible grump.
What a delight.
What do you think of my intro?
I love it. Excellent. Great.
It was perfect, except for one tiny hiccup.
Which turned Jarrett into the Incredible Sulk.
Oh, the Incredible Sulk. Much better.
The Incredible Sulk.
All right.
That's good.
So, oh, guys, guess what? Our order today. Plug in the Jarbinator. Our order today is Jarb. J-A-R-B.
Hey.
Love it when that happens. That's fun.
So it's clockwise in as going from the way we are in the video.
Yeah, that's the way it is in mine, too.
Mine's different. Mine's
Brett and Robert switched to mine.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, we don't see it the same way?
No, I noticed that early on.
It's
when
just like life.
I used to like point at people, or they'd point at me, and I'm like, that's not where I am.
Oh.
I was like, that's completely wrong.
Well, I'm recording it, so the way that...
Yes.
The way that it appears...
I have Brett underneath me and Jarrett to my left.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I have you guys on speaker view, so... It's always clockwise and counterclockwise.
It's me,
it's a circle,
Anthony, of life. Brett, and Rob.
Oh, interesting.
This should definitely stay in the episode.
We're going to keep this in.
Yeah.
Also, remember when I spilled water all over myself that one time? I came up with a solution. Got this thermos here.
It has a top on it.
It's got an unscrewable top.
Does that mean you're going to re-screw it every time?
Oh, yeah, I have to. Otherwise, it'll be a mess.
Otherwise, you'll spill again.
I thought
you were going to do some amazing physical comedy there and just dump it all over
the whole thing.
Look what I have. No!
The other thing I thought you were going to do was try to take a drink with the top on and be like, see, no spills.
Oh, yeah.
You also can't drink anything.
That's the downside.
Yeah.
Very thirsty.
Brett introduced me to the Jason Sudeikis bit with David Blaine. Which was so far, I've showed it to many people since then.
Does anybody know how to shuffle like actually like that? You do? Like,
yeah, David, I can shuffle.
Do me a favor, shuffle these. I want to try something. I'll let you.
Nice.
Okay. And I think I have the least thought out material I've ever had.
Oh, great.
Ooh,
this is fun.
Maybe the setups will be shorter.
No, it's all setups.
You know how the joke about prison is like, don't drop the soap?
Mm-hmm.
The implication there is because if you do, you'll get raped. But the thing is, like, if you drop the soap, you have to pick up the soap. So don't drop the soap anyways, you know? Like, you don't want to drop the soap anyways because then you have to pick up the soap. And that sucks.
I like that. Mm-hmm. My first thought is... to put yourself in your own shower where you're like, I dropped the soap in my own shower. That's also not fun.
Yeah.
That's also annoying.
You say in prison, that you shouldn't drop the soap. But I know from taking my own shower that you should not drop the soap in your home also because then you have to pick up the soap. And that sucks.
Also, I live with a really aggressive gay guy sometimes.
Every time I drop the soap, he just bursts in there like the Hulk.
He goes, don't do that. And that's it. And he leaves.
Yeah, and then you have to rinse off the soap in the water because otherwise it's got weird stuff on it. You don't want to wipe that stuff on
it.
So yeah, don't drop the soap.
I love the idea of a bunch of prisoners in a prison shower and somebody drops the soap and they're all like, hey, man, that's not a good idea. And then it says all the reasons you just say, like, yeah, you're gonna have to pick that up. It's dangerous. You could fall over.
Right.
One of us could slip on it.
Didn't anyone ever tell you not to drop the soap in prison? It's a communal shower. We could all slip on that soap.
You drop it, everybody goes, oh, come on.
Oh, come on. I thought we got the word out to the outside prison population to not do that when you get in here. There was a line in Shawshank Redemption I really appreciated when Andy Dufresne was noticing that the sisters were interested in potentially like fucking with him and raping him. And then he looks over to Red and he says, I guess it wouldn't help any if I told him I wasn't gay. And then Morgan Freeman as Red says, he's not either. You have to be human first. And it was a nice little nod to the fact that prison rape is from rapists. It's not a gay thing. It's that they're horrible rapist people.
Yeah, it's a power thing.
Yeah, so it was just a cool like way to quickly sort of, you know, put that out there in that film, in that script. It just thought it was a cool line to be like, he's not gay. He's barely human. And you have to be human to be gay.
Also, we're not homophobic.
If Jared had written the script.
We, the screenwriter and director of Shawshank Redemption, are not homophobic.
Let's hear another not idea, Jared.
All these protests about police violence, I am in favor of, obviously. I'm a liberal, and so I feel like liberals, we're trying to de-escalate things. You know, like, we want to take away all this militarized equipment from the police. We want them to not shoot guns at people. You know, we want to put more money into other programs. And what I love about our political process is that it's built on compromise. And so, like, Republicans heard that, and they were like, you know what? All right, here's our compromise. Every cop gets an Iron Man suit. All right, that's the idea.
So are you saying that that the militarization of the police came in response to liberals not wanting a demilitarization of the police?
No. The idea being that their idea of compromise is by giving them even better weapons that can do even more damage.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So then the order of that is correct. Oh, okay. So that hasn't happened yet, even in the lore of your joke, but it will come. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, liberals are like, maybe the police shouldn't have, you know, army equipment and army weapons. And Republicans are like, all right, counterpoint, they should all have Iron Man suits.
Oh, they're haggling.
Yeah, exactly.
But the police are going higher than before.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like something costs $100. You go, how about 80? They go, how about 250?
2,000. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I don't know if this would you'd be okay with the setup as, but maybe that Republicans are better at haggling.
Oh, yeah, that is a really funny idea. I like that.
Sometimes they don't even need to haggle. Look at all these executive orders. No haggling.
Yeah, that could work. That could be a good justification. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, and yeah, that's really funny.
Sorry for us cracking up when you said I'm a liberal in the joke. And
that's
I know
okay.
It took a lot of strength to power
that's
through.
Okay. I know. I understand.
I tried to back away from the mic, but I love that every.
I was keeping it internalized, but then when I saw Anthony laugh, I couldn't help.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, I had my notes app above everybody's faces, but I could just tell it was happening. I was like, nope, I will not give them the satisfaction.
When you write a set list, does it say, like, I'm a liberal.
Every joke is liberal. And then I'm like, okay.
Liberal sandwiches. Liberal.
At the top, it actually says liberal set list.
So I'm a liberal, and I hate airplane food.
Progressive, liberal, woke.
Woke.
That's the whole, yeah. I love it.
Okay.
I think both of those ideas are really funny. And I think they're both ideas.
Hmm? Yeah. Oh, so there's something?
Yeah. those were something.
Yeah, they just feel... Yeah, I like the idea. I don't think there's a... They're not jokes yet, but we'll see. All right. Thanks so much for your assistance, boys.
Absolutely.
We do what we can.
Now it is Anthony's turn.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
So... I have three ideas today. This one I have not tweeted or told anybody about. So this is new to all.
I already tweeted.
So it's an exclusive.
Exclusive.
This is an exclusive. Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Anthony, can you put a graphic? Can we have like a stinger or something for this? I would like to be extremely long.
Oh, no, this is...
no one's heard this joke before. It's a job exclusive.
Exclusive.
You know when you go to a show and you heard the joke before and it's not as good as the first exclusive. Time you heard it.
This is impossible. Not like that.
This is not like that at all. Literally, no one has heard this joke before.
And then fireworks.
Dance solo.
The joke is so short then.
It actually is very short.
Do turtles need real estate agents for the shows?
That was an exclusive. You just heard exclusive joke.
Is that one of your jokes, Brett? Because I love that about
that's
the
very.
I just made it up.
I love that.
And then we have an outro that is twice as long as the intro.
You're not that far off. This actually is a short joke. Sometimes I see eye floaters. But I like to pretend my life is shot on film.
I think that's very funny. I think you'll need a. I don't know. Is it common knowledge what eye floaters are for everybody?
That's what I was going to ask you guys. If I need to have a first part where I explain what that is.
Yeah, go ahead and explain it because I'm pretty sure I know what they are, but I still took a second to be like, he's talking about the things when you look up in the blue sky.
I think they're iron deposits. That float as you move your eyeballs. They float around as if they're in some kind of, I don't know. I guess they're in your eye fluid or something. So they.
Yeah.
I actually see them all the time since I was a kid.
My eye doctor says that the reason I get these eye floaters, which are these squiggly lines that I see, is because of those iron deposits in my eyes. But I like to pretend. Then you can explain it in the setup.
Oh, yeah. Like it's a thing of going to the doctor. Oh, I see. Yeah. That would be a good way to frame it.
I like, and then these punchlines, I like to pretend my life is shot on film.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I like that a lot.
Also, floaters was the worst Apple product.
Is it pool floaties?
I can't. Why don't it just... It won't sync up.
But do you have the newest software?
Is it you keep on sinking into your friend's pool and you're like, I don't have the right Wi-Fi password.
Do you think it could go anywhere else from there? Or is that,
where it is? I've ever heard any bits about eye floaters. I mean, I think it's free, free reign.
What does it look like for you to pretend that your life is a silent film?
Oh, I didn't say silent, but I guess that.
Oh, didn't you? What did you say?
That it's my life is shot on film.
Maybe the worse your eyesight gets, the grittier the director.
Oh, I'm Tarantino today.
Yeah, there's got to be other ways that you could distort your vision. Like when you wear sunglasses, then it's like, oh, it's a sepia-toned feature. This is cool. It's a 70 millimeter? All right.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, let me see.
What would you do if I... Would you stand up and walk out of...
Those shots were supposed to look like 8mm, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I have this other idea that I did tweet, and I know Brett liked it. I've never intentionally made a Rube Goldberg machine, but yesterday I opened my medicine cabinet and I tried to pull out a tube of toothpaste, which tipped over the face wash, which fell and knocked over a bottle of Listerine into the sink. And that made the soap fall onto the floor. So I think I'd be pretty good at it.
I do remember that joke. I love that joke.
I love the fact that you unintentionally make a Rube Goldberg machine, but I am just questioning whether you want to be so direct about the fact that you never intentionally made one and then you just go ahead and unintentionally make one. Because everything about you doing it is so fun for me, but I kind of just know that that's all you can do at this point, is you have to just do exactly that.
What if you...
That makes any sense.
What if you, to make it into a Rube Goldberg, you're like, so I pretended I had to mop.
Oh.
Because it ends with soap on the floor. So you change the... You change what what you're trying to achieve based off of what happens.
That's cool. Yeah, that kind of provides an end to that story.
I do like that. Do I need to explain what a Rube Goldberg machine is?
I think it's pretty intrinsic in your explanation. I think even people who don't know what it is will figure out just from this does this, which caused this to do that.
I don't know what the quickest way, if I did have to explain it, I probably would say it's like an OK Go music video.
I think that's
a funny tag.
I think that you put that in right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then you take the rest of the joke after that.
Do I need to explain who OK Go is?
Have you ever seen a Rube Goldberg? And listen to music.
Oh, man, I wish I had a OK Go burn in the chamber, because then that would have been a good place for that, you know.
Because they've had it too good for too long.
Yeah, take them down a peg, Jarrett. Get them.
Imagine if Weezer's manager was 13 years old. I just like the idea of you having to keep on explaining things in the joke.
Yeah.
That's what the theme of all these jokes is.
I think that's a super funny thing to do after your Rube Goldberg joke. Like, because there'll be people who don't know it, for sure. I can't speak for anyone younger than me, honestly. I don't know who teach. I learned about Rube Goldberg when I was, like, in art class in fifth grade, because my art teacher wanted us to, like, construct one or draw one, basically. I thought that was a cool thing. But other than that, I don't know how many pop culture references I really have, you know, heard of it.
People don't call it anything, but there's, you know, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure starts with a Rube Goldberg machine.
The Goonies.
Is there one in the Goonies?
One in the very beginning. That's how he opens the gate.
I think Honey, I Shrunk the Kids has one in the beginning as well.
Opening sequence of Back to the Future. Great. Great Doc Brown.
Rube that's what I'm thinking of.
Defeat Einstein.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. The way that if somebody said, what's Rube Goldberg, the way that I would describe it is how you're basically doing it in the joke, which is why I think nobody will have a trouble understanding it, because it would almost be redundant to explain it that way.
Yeah.
It's like you explain the joke, I knock the toothpaste into this. It's like, oh, what is a Rube Goldberg? Well, it's like when you knock a toothpaste over into a bowling ball, and then it rolls into a birdhouse, and the bird pops out and knocks over a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's exactly how you would describe it. So
and that's how mommy got pregnant with you.
Wait, can you set up that rope? Can you finish out that Rube Goldberg for me?
This is how Rube Goldberg's parents fucked.
in the joke, should it be, if it's going to turn into something else, like what you said, Brett, about the soap falls on the ground and so I started mopping, should it be something more crazy, like the Listerine and falls, and then there's all these dominoes set up and then they topple over, and
I think the fact that it's realistic. That's what I like about it. It's like this really could have happened. I believe it.
And it then did you, happen.
Yeah, and then you believing that, like, I did a cool science trick is very funny to me.
I couldn't believe how many things fell and knocked over something else when all I was trying to do was brush my teeth.
You and Steve Urkel.
So keep it realistic. That's what's funny. But then have it maybe lead to... But you like that even the thing that it leads to is it's also realistic. Because it's like soap on the floor, and then I'm like, well, I got some cleaning on the floor.
And I also think that it's relatable. I've done that, too. I've had that experience. But to relate it to, I'm pretty good at Rube Goldberg's is really funny. Mm-hmm. Also, the difference between Rube Goldberg and Steve Urkel is that Rube Goldberg, afterwards, he would say, I did that.
I know I did that. I know I did that.
I planned that.
but you like the line that I think I'd be pretty good at it, and then also saying that it was something unintentional. Like,
The ending is a little mushy for me, so I think I'd be pretty good at it. It's like a trail off for me because I already have the joke there.
So should I lose that line?
Yeah, maybe if you like that you're intentionally doing a thing. How does it start?
I've never intentionally made a Rube Goldberg machine, but then all the stuff happens.
Oh yeah, so then that line does fit. I take it back.
Yeah, no, I like that line. I think it's good.
And then if I decided to clean the floor, that will go before that line.
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly like after this joke is done, then just pulling back the curtain and then the things we kind of discussed. Like truly, I think that once that joke is there, then you can say, "Do you guys even know?" You can wonder whether they know what a Rube Goldberg machine. Should I have explained what a Rube Goldberg machine was?
Actually, recount this whole section of the episode and what our podcast is. And then be like, and then Rob said this, mm-hmm. and then Rob Brett said that.
We are a Rube Goldberg joke machine.
Also the game Mousetrap, and also Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Those are
also
where Rube Goldbergs are. Mousetrap is a good, okay. Yeah. How come OK Go has never done a video where they play Mousetrap?
You gotta ask them.
I mean, they only did one Rube Goldberg video, I
think. Yeah, I think so. All right, is there anything else you think of? Anything else you could think of for that one?
No, but I am in agreement with Rob. I think, yeah, you can tag with everything there.
You could Mike Kaplanify this a little bit too, because if you keep going from one explanation to another, you have in a way created a Rube Gold joke by you're like, well, I should explain this and that. You're like one thing is leading to another to another explanation.
Oh,
you can
right.
actually just keep it as Goldberg.
Yes.
For comedy. Because Jews.
Yeah. Well, so that's sort of what I was thinking. I didn't think of it as a Mike Kaplan thing, but I see what you mean.
I'm just as an example of something to just further,
Yeah,
twistify it, and
because then it's a theme for all the jokes, and then that works too. Especially if some of these jokes don't hit, going back, like, should I explain what? And then that is gonna make them feel good about not laughing or whatever.
Right. maybe I should have explained words.
Yeah.
If you can get real.
I don't know if you guys remember a couple episodes ago, many episodes ago, us having a joke about like. Writing a callback before the actual joke.
Yeah.
That is something that Mike Kaplan does in his most recent album.
Oh,
really?
And it's awesome. Yeah.
Good thing I have not.
Is it a joke doesn't work and then he says, oh, that's a callback to a joke I haven't
said yet. He'll just like say something that kind of relates to the joke he just said and it's not that funny. I'm going to say it's not that funny, but like it's not intended to be like a big joke point. It's not intended to be like explosive laughter. And then he'll do that again later on, and then later on in the show he'll actually have a joke about that thing, that reference that he made already like three times.
So he's not pretending, he is literally doing a callback
to a joke that hasn't happened
the
yet.
Joke and then he does the callback and then
our version is like just being lazy, like we didn't finish a joke.
Yeah.
So we just go, that's a callback.
His is more like, I did a lot of ayahuasca and time doesn't exist. So I'm going to put these callbacks anywhere.
He's so good.
It's such a smart... I'm such a huge fan of that album. I can see how it might be a little annoying if you don't want to hear... Like, because he does do a lot of, like, jokes about how his mind has been blown by ayahuasca. It's very... There's a lot of philosophy in this hour, more so than his other ones, I would say. But I love it. I think it's great.
I got to see it. Is it a special? Is it on...
Like, it's on Spotify. That's how I listen to it.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not like a video thing. Do I have time for a short one, or am I done? I wasn't counting.
Good. I think we're good.
This one, I really don't know if it's a joke, so let me know. I like to put Pop-Tarts in the oven because it feels like I'm baking. Also, I don't have a toaster. And that's it.
The first line is funnier than the second line for me. It's the idea that just it feels like I'm baking is very funny. I don't know if it needs that second line for me to laugh at it.
Really?
Yeah, as weird as that sounds.
I didn't think it was a joke.
Feels like you're baking. Lazy person.
Yeah, very lazy.
You're lazy.
I like it the way
still...
it is. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Brett. I was just saying I like it the way it is. Oh. Brett was giving you a note. So obviously my thing was way more important.
You're still lazy, but then you also like when it's ready, you have like a big apron on and stuff like that. Come in, kids. Breakfast is ready.
I live alone.
Who's ready for dessert?
After you're done, you put it in the windowsill.
I do like that.
That's I love that. I love you going all to nine. Just the preheating. You set it to 350, 20 minutes.
It's an all day thing.
And you got to be careful putting it in because obviously my hair is in curlers.
Yeah, I've got a hairnet.
What's that spell? Old man Caffer's making his famous Pop-Tarts again.
Should be ready in 3-4 hours.
I pull it out, it's all burnt. He's a charcoal.
Now, Charlie, make sure you come back before sunset.
That's great.
All right. Good job, Anthony.
Thank you for...
That was definitely a joke.
Yeah.
I think it could be something. I feel good about it now.
Okay. Is this anything? When I was a kid, I used to see the thumbprint technology on TV shows and movies. It was always, you know, in like a secret government building in an underground bunker. So it's weird now that I use it to... order Domino's and sign into Pornhub.
But you still go through the process of like treating it like you're a secret agent. You're like, and 3, 2, 1, synchronize.
You walk through all those doorways like from Get Smart.
Yeah, I did have half written. I said, it's like if I had to call my buddy and turn two keys at the exact same time and order two, and then I just trailed off because I wasn't sure what the other thing was.
That's funny. You and your friend watching porn.
Oh, yeah. But you open the vault, and instead of a bunch of money or high-tech stuff, it's just like tissues and lube or lotion.
I feel like we're focusing on the Pornhub part, but there was a pizza at the beginning of this joke, guys.
Yeah, for after also the porn pizza. Is over.
Because you get so hungry afterwards. That's the cliche. Whenever a guy comes, he's just like, oh, now my tummy's all rumbly.
I do get hungry after I come.
But yeah, I was signing into something like Domino's app or something with my thumb, and I was like, this is crazy. It was always the big technology thing, and now it's that.
What if when the Domino's guy arrives, you're treating him like he's a secret agent?
Mm.
I thought you were going to say you put your thumb on his face.
Can I have my pizza now?
Do you want to confirm it's me? Just hold it up to him.
Yeah, that's really funny.
It's also interesting. I don't know if this is a funny part for the joke, but it's interesting that that was like the technology in movies and stuff. And then we breezed by it with phones because it went right from put your thumb here. And now it's just let me read your retinas or whatever it does for the face ID.
It's true.
The thumb thing came and went.
What if, because there was always a, when it used to be thumbprint technology, there was always somebody getting their thumb cut off and that being used. So what if now, oh, I lost the train of thought. Maybe somebody's getting their thumb cut off and then the end result is that they just need to order Domino's.
Right, right.
Now we have access to their Twitter.
Yeah, it doesn't unlock any secret vault, but.
Right, like yeah, in the movie, the person always gets killed and then they take their like severed thumb or whatever and use it, or they pull their eye open and they get the retina scan. But now it's just to get into my Dunkin' Donuts rewards card app.
You got free munchkins coming too.
Is this an angle that you can use, like how we've seen that in movies so long that we've all seen 100 movies where that technology is beaten by like a really good, you know, thief or something. And so now we're all so nonplussed by it where we could be like, yeah, the guy from Mission Impossible could get into my phone in 3 seconds. Obviously, you know, anybody who chops off my thumb or wears a me mask.
You know, right.
I guess it's not an angle.
You know, I
imagine Face Off, but it was just so that they could order Domino's from your phone.
I think it's funny if, like, okay, ow, what the hell was that? All right.
Is there a ghost in your apartment, Rob?
There might be. I just,
I'm plugging your headphones.
How was that? I feel like I got like shocked. Anyway,
do you have a Victorian girl doll? I'm seeing a reflection in the window behind you.
Damn it! What the hell was I thinking of before? Oh, that like when passwords, when it was used to be like a password that you could just say versus like having it attached to you, like your thumb or your eye. I did see an uptick in those poor saps just getting murdered right away, and then they just steal their eye and steal their thumb. I wonder if those guys at those like corporations were like, "Can we just go back to the password where somebody would hold a gun to my head, threaten my family, and I would just tell them?"
Somebody raises their hand. They're like, "I got an idea for how things could be better. Can we go back to regular fucking passwords, please?"
That's why they moved on from the thumb thing to the eye thing, because they're like, "What? Now what?"
And then the guy with the eye patch is like, "I have a complaint.
I got this is my third digit this week. I lost the goddamn poachers."
Is there something in like when you forget your password, how you have to reset it, but like maybe your thumbprint doesn't work and you have to like describe your thumbprint? Like, what was your last thumbprint?
It went like this, and then it went like that.
It went squiggle, squiggle, squiggle.
Circular squiggle.
Thinner squiggle, and then like a big loop around all the squiggles.
Mr. Ryan. Thank you so much.
If you have a scar on your fingerprint, does that make it unreadable? Or does that become your new fingerprint?
Well, some people lose their fingerprints. You can burn them off.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that can either be accidentally or on purpose if you're like a spy, you know.
Oh, I guess that's the answer. I guess that your fingerprints can be destroyed. Mm-hmm. You're kind of glitchy again.
Glitchy. Damn. Computer getting so hot.
You have an ice pack? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would be...
I don't think that's a bad idea. Frozen peas.
Maybe a steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any...
And then you can cook the milk? Steak at the same time. Eggs?
Yeah. I could go for some eggs.
Flour? Yeah. Are we making a cake here? What's going
Ooh.
On?
I got an idea. Pop-tops. Take out all the food from your fridge and just put your computer in the fridge. And then you can do the episode pointing out from the fridge.
Or get in the fridge. Take the shelves out.
These are all great ideas, guys.
All right, you get in the fridge, you put the computer in the freezer, and then you use a mirror so that we can see you and you can see us.
Or just use your phone.
Let me pause, if not leave for a sec, and then I will come back.
Sounds all right. Good. What do you guys want to talk about?
Nothing. Shut up.
Total silence until Rob returns.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Everything?
Is this everything? You know, I was thinking about, like, because everybody used to shit on online classes, like, oh, Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. When the pandemic happened, those people who ran those were probably like, suck my dick, motherfuckers. You want a little advice on online classes?
It's kind of funny because then Harvard is like, yeah, can you tell us something? And Arizona Online is like, well, I mean, if we're being honest, we were kind of shitty at it because we didn't care. Yeah. Thank you for being for receiving a couple of high messages.
No problem. I enjoyed them.
Yeah. I didn't receive any high messages.
I like to check in with sober people when I get that messed up. And Brett was the person I reached out to because I thought that he was the person that would be the least annoyed by it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And weird enough, two other people reached out to me under the same circumstances that day. They were so high and they were like, you're somebody I could talk to. You won't judge me. You'll be fun. You'll understand.
You should start a business.
Are you out of your mind? And you want to talk to somebody to make sure that you didn't do anything with long-term consequences?
Did you just melt into the floor? Call me, Brett.
I had this medication that I take with my breakfast. And in the middle of my trip, I was like, I didn't take my medication. And I like went to the bathroom and I like looked at my travel bathroom bag. And I was like, I definitely didn't do this earlier. And I like put my hand in and I grabbed the medicine bottle. And I was like, I didn't do this earlier. I would remember if I did this earlier. And I took the cap off and I put the pill in my hand. And I was like, I definitely didn't do this earlier. And then I was like, but I'm on drugs. I'm not going to take it just to be safe.
Did you ever find out?
I mean, there's no way that I will ever know if I took it once or took it zero times. Mm. But I just knew that I would rather take it zero times than two times.
Sure.
So I was like, this is the safer route.
Yeah.
It was Viagra the whole time. Did I take it already?
It's got a rock hard erection.
I got the bottle.
Don't know if I took it.
I got the bottle balanced on my hard dick. I'm using my boner to do the thinking thing on my face. It's like, did I take it? Did I take it? And my boner scratches the top of my head. I don't recall.
But you're pretty high right now.
So watching everything that's going on with police, I have figured out a solution. We all need to become police officers. That's the only way to solve it, because now cops will protect us because we'll also be cops. And then so, you know, they'd have to protect, they'll now be protecting all U.S. citizens because every man, woman, and child will be a cop. And so once that's solved, then we can start making some endangered species. We can make them cops, like sea turtles, you know, and that'll be fun because we'll be like, you'll see some sea turtles, you'll be like, oh, it's the cops. Oh, no. And then you'll be like, oh, wait, it's okay because we're also cops. We should protect those sea cops. Blue Lives
sea
Matter.
Cops. Sea cops. I like sea
and that's
cops.
All save the planet.
It's the old, if you can't stop them from beating you, join them.
That's great. Sea cops.
I do love sea
so
cops.
Yeah, it's not a traditional joke structure there.
No, I like it.
I'm trying to think of more examples of this, but I kind of like the idea of, like, you can't get caught with illegal drugs if you're a cop. That's just evidence.
Yeah. At least corruption. I don't see anything.
And I'm a cop.
Yeah.
I would know.
There'd be no crimes. Yeah. Every time you steal something, it's just corruption, which will get swept under the rug. Yeah.
You're not speeding. You're chasing a perp.
Cops take care of their own. That's just a such a silly, fun concept. I love that. And sea cops is such a funny term.
Sea cops is great.
Sea cops made me laugh.
So so every person becomes a cop at the same time,
mm-hmm.
but then we still see other problems, and then we start making. So it's like all people are cops at the same time, and then you decide which animals are going to also start being.
Yeah, so the first part is like, I've just solved everything. We're all cops now. Now cops protect us because we're also cops. So what's next? We have to protect animals.
So we make the
sea turtles, which are endangered, into cops. And now people will protect the sea turtles.
Yeah.
Be like, and then Blue Lives Matter.
Save the whales. All right, cops.
Cops.
Whale cops.
Now we can get on board.
Could you make the entire Earth a cop? Does that work?
Yeah. Environment. Yeah, like, does the environment become the cop?
Yeah.
Yeah. The environment's cop now.
Planets.
All the water is cop. Cop water.
Hey, you can't litter on that cop.
When the sea turtles,
cop.
when the sea turtles become cops, are they like cops the way dogs are cops now? Like, are they drug sniffing turtles?
No, they're just turtles, but they have Kevlar on.
I thought they just have a little hat.
Yeah.
If everybody's a cop, then what are we protecting? What are we protecting ourselves from?
Criminals.
Yeah, but criminals are cops now.
No, there's no such thing as a criminal being a cop.
But if all people are cops.
We did a job well done.
Yeah,
there's bound to be some bad apples in there.
We did it.
If you got,
what if you had like a building that was like going to fall down, but you couldn't tear it down because the building is a cop?
9/11 would have been prevented.
Okay.
Only so we can't fly our planes into those cops.
No, what I'm saying is like... Sometimes you have to blow up a building if it's like structurally unsound, the same way that you should fire a cop if they're racist. But
because the building, that doesn't sound like a cop talking to me, Jared.
Because buildings are now cops, you can't even tear down buildings that are going to fall down.
I think this is just this is delightfully absurd. It's perfect.
Yeah.
There's a thin blue line.
It's now a very wide blue line.
It's a very wide strip.
And then when aliens come, we'll all be excited because we'll be able to be cops to something for the first time in a long time. We'll all rush over and just be like, oh, hey, what you doing here? What's the
coming
rush?
From a little party, are we?
One too many? What's going on? You mind if I take a look around?
Do you live inside your
spaceship? I'm going to have to ask you to step outside. Step outside of the spaceship, please. I like solving every problem that could exist as a person with something that's a cop thing now.
I think that's...
If we're all cops, like you could do drugs now happily with impunity, right? Because your cop friend's not going to rat on you.
Right.
No one likes a rat.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So everybody becoming cops is essentially not having cops.
Right. In the lore of the joke, that's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
But Brett never lets on to that.
Yeah. And also, like, we just look out for each other. We all look out for each other.
It seems like you just invented empathy.
Yeah. All look out.
How do we trick humans into having this?
Yeah.
Into caring about each other.
Yeah, that's really what the joke is. Like.
Yeah, it's great. I love, when you think about cops within the cop world, they're great.
Yeah.
The cops do for cops. I mean, that's the underpinning of the joke, right? The cops do for cops, and we wish the cops would just do for everybody.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. And it's silly and absurd. I do also like the entirety of Earth becoming dick cops to aliens too.
Oh yeah, aliens. Yeah,
yeah, just absolute asshole dick.
I recently ordered delivery, but the guy got here. He had no advice for how I should say my jokes, and I felt like I wasted $22. But then he gave me a pizza. So that was not bad.
I love that joke. If you could deliver it more poorly, there might be something to that. I think that'd be funny.
I recently ordered delivery, but the guy had no advice for how to say my jokes. I felt like I wasted $22, but then he gave me a pizza.
It feels like a little
wanted,
inside baseball.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. No, this one was for you guys.
But I think it could work if you started the joke off with, you know, like, being a comedian is hard. Even if you write the perfect joke, like, it depends on how you deliver the joke. Like, I ordered delivery the other day. Something like that. I don't know.
Oh yeah. I think no matter what you do, this will be a tough one to sell to a crowd. Because I have a joke where usually I'll do it after I do a bunch of meta jokes. And I say, I do like a lot of meta humor, which I know is a not a great setup for a joke. But don't worry, this is the punchline. Have I done that on this? I might have brought that here, but I've done that before.
No, that sounds new to me. That sounds like an exclusive.
It so rarely works that when somebody laughs in the room, I get excited.
All right, well, what about this? You know, being a comedian can be hard because you can write a really good joke, but the delivery is so important. I actually ordered delivery the other day, but the guy had no advice for how I should say my jokes. I felt like I wasted $22, but then he gave me a pizza.
That is funny because it shifts the punchline to the pizza thing. Because now I already know that you're going to have the delivery in the joke. It's just so stupid. I love it. There's pizza.
Dude, yeah,
try that at least once.
Yeah, I like that. That
seems fun. Like that setup. That's a good way to frame that. It feels more like a joke. So even if they're, I think people will laugh just because they know it's a joke now. The other way, they might be kind of waiting,
trying to figure it out. Right? Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
But then he gave me a pizza. Pizza. Let's do that for a minute.
Yeah, but that first pizza delivery is great. Do you guys like that pizza delivery? You guys like this pizza delivery?
Have you guys ever had an adult wet willy? A lot more fun.
Can we just call it sex?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's sex, but that's not what I call it, and women don't like it. Oh, I was supposed to be herding cows. I feel bad for all of them. Cows, I hurt. That's all I have. That's all my dumb ideas.
That's great.
I think, Brett, you're the best person to go last because as we're thinking of things for the last thing, you just start rambling off other insane ideas.
Yeah. I treat this more of like an open mic in the workshop.
Only it's good.
And you have assessed the crowd today and you're like, it's not worth it.
I did want to say when you started your cops joke, I did want to interrupt you and be like, we get it. You're a liberal.
Yeah.
You could do the my impression of a setup structure. This is my impression of a, I don't know.
I do love that format, but it's done so much that I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I think Zach Galifianakis kind of pioneered that. I mean, maybe
characters and all that.
Yeah, maybe somebody else did it before him, but that's the one I know of.
Sure.
But he doesn't own that, does he?
He doesn't, but he just did it so well, and I feel like everybody who's doing it after him that I've seen is doing it based off of him.
Yeah. Well, I did it a lot when I was new, and it was definitely because of him.
Yeah, it's an easy structure. It's a great structure, but it's very, very easy.
I used to do a joke when I very, very first, very early jokes that I used to do. So this is my impression of every soap opera right before the commercial break. What?
And then this is my impression of every character Keanu Reeves plays. What?
And then I would go, this is my impression of every Mexican soap opera before they go to commercial. Gay?
This is my impression of everybody who heard that joke in the audience. What?
And then,
oh,
it's a free show.
Exactly.
I don't know. What did we expect as a free show? We have to stay for the whole thing? We saw our friend like three comics ago.
I was going to mess with you guys, and I had a kind of meta joke where I was going to go, you know, I don't like impressionists because they always, the way that they set up their impressions, it's always so contrived. It's like, oh, what if Dr. Phil was the president? And then I was just going to do a Dr. Phil impression as the president.
Ooh, I like that effect that you put on that, Brett.
Thanks. Yeah. It's my impression of the worst thing that could happen right now.
Did anybody, nobody told me that we added Skrillex to the episode today.
Your joke turned into a fat boy.
What if in the end of the joke you went like pee 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 instead of pizza?
Maybe it's outro time.
Yeah. Is this me or Anthony? You want to give the outro a crack?
I mean, I can, or we can all do one. Let's thank you for listening and watching. Okay, let me start over. Thank you for tuning in. Right? That's a good one. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Is This Anything? Check us out in the what do you, Brett, you always do it better.
You're trying to convince us that you're somebody else? You disguise your voice. Oh, check us out. Are you that's a child trying to get an adult movie theater ticket?
Is that a movie phone voice?
No, it just sounded like somebody was trying to pretend to be an adult. Oh, I need one ticket to this
R-rated film. What is going on with Rob?
Sorry.
Did you mean...
Are you spying on yourself?
What a great end to our episode.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. Check back for more individual clips and full episodes every Monday, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to support the show and get access to special fan-only content, go to patreon.com/ITAPod. That's ITAPod as in Is This Anything Podcast. Relevant links in the description. Take care.